This while you open your Bibles up to the book of Matthew, the 13th chapter is where we'll be reading from. But have you witnessed God answering a prayer and you didn't even recognize it until you took a second look or a third look? I want to share this with you. On Sunday evening in our fellowship, I walked past the table. And there sat Mary, and she was eating. And that's the first time I've seen it in a long time. And I didn't even recognize the miracle. And I say that was a miracle that God touched her and made it possible that she could be there. And it blessed my heart. I had to stop and go back. And I even, somebody else came around the corner, and I told them, I said, look, Mary's eating. And it was just a great blessing to be able to see that and to be able to hear her talk to us tonight. And then they want to say God is not still answering prayers. I say you're serving the wrong God. Amen. So in the book of Matthew, I just wanted to share that with you while it was upon my heart this evening. And just thank the Lord. I said Matthew. I got my marker in the wrong place. I'm still in Matthew, but go over tonight, if you would, to the 21st chapter. 21st chapter of the book of Matthew. And go with us, if you would, reading verses 21 and 22. Verse 21, Jesus answered and said unto them, verily I say unto you, if you have faith, and doubt not, you shall not only do this which is done to the fig tree, but also if you shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, it shall be done. And all things whatsoever you shall ask in prayer, believing, you shall receive. And stop reading there with those two verses tonight. The Lord is teaching us that faith, he says that we have to believe that faith is able to do great things in our life. This fig tree that they saw, that the Lord had seen it, there was no fruit upon it, but just leaves, that he said, let no fruit grow on henceforth forever. And right before them, in verse 19, he says, and presently, meaning immediately, the fig tree withered away, and the disciples marveled that he spoke a word, and that tree withered so fast. These same disciples are the ones that saw him perform many miracles. And why would they doubt that God was able, through his Son, to do this great work to this tree? Tonight I'd like to bring you a message that's talking about faith. And not just faith, but how that we have positive faith and we also have negative faith. Positive faith is what the Lord is saying here to us, that when we believe that whatsoever we shall say, even to that mountain, to be cast into the sea, it shall be done. Has anybody else ever spoke to a mountain in your life and it still was present? A mountain can be anything that hinders us along the journey, that prevents us from getting what God wants us to have, a blessing or an answer to a prayer. Because he said if we would pray, believing, we shall receive it by faith. By faith we shall receive everything that we have that we stand in need of. Positive faith is believing. And there are times that we have positive faith. When we pray for those to be healed and the Spirit of the Lord comes along, we feel with all of our heart that we don't know how or when, but God is going to hear and answer our prayers. But doubt or unbelief is negative faith. And I'm afraid that most of us have more negative faith than we have positive faith. We look at that mountain and we say, I know that God is able, but I don't know if he will do it for me. The Bible teaches us anytime we pray and we doubt, we're not going to see an answer come to our prayer, because the devil has come in and put negative faith, the negativity of us praying and believing God is going to do that for us. I've said it many times over the years. It's not hard for us to believe that God will do it for somebody else, but it's hard for us to believe that God will do it for us. He'll do it for me. And that negativity goes in our prayer, and God senses and he feels that negative faith that we have. And not only does God know about it, but the devil knows about it. That we're already praying for something that we don't believe will come to happen. We don't believe it will happen. We can speak to that mountain all day long, but if we never have positive faith, the devil will come in and put doubt in our heart, in our life, and we'll speak, but nothing will happen. Anytime we believe that God won't, God won't. Amen. It may not make sense, but it's true. When we believe God can, God will. But when we put doubt in the mix, there's no reason for us to look for our prayers to be answered. We can say, Lord, I have faith. But without faith, the Bible says it is impossible to please God. And he's not talking about the negative faith. He's talking about the positive faith. That I serve a God that is big enough to hear and answer my prayers. Did you know that the Bible tells us that unbelief in our prayers, unbelief in God, is sin? In the book of Romans, in the 14th chapter, in the 23rd verse, it plainly says unbelief is sin. Anytime that we doubt what God is able to do, unbelief comes in and it puts sin. You've heard many times over the years, preacher preach about sins of admission, those things that you've done, and sins of omission, things that you've left out. And anytime we pray without positive faith in what God will do for us, we have committed sin. And I don't think I've ever preached it like that, Sharon, but that's what the scripture tells us. That when we begin to doubt what God's word says, we're sinning against God. Because what we're saying is, God, your word is not true. It may be true for everybody else, but it's not true for me. God is not a respecter of persons. The Bible teaches us, what he has done for one, he'll do for all. Because we're all his children today. And he loves all of us tonight. And there's no reason for us to have unbelief or doubt when we pray, when we speak to that mountain that is in our way, that obstacle that is on our journey that is stopping us from being where and what God wants us to be. Or where God wants us to be at, or doing the things that God wants us to do. He said, if all things whatsoever you shall ask in prayer, believing, you shall receive it. Where we come short is that we pray, and then we throw in unbelief, and we never receive it, and we say, God, you failed me. God has never failed any of us. But when we have unbelief in our prayer, in our life, then we begin to take God's word and say, Lord, I know you did it before, but I just don't believe that you can do it again. And there is nothing that is impossible for our God to do today. But we pray, and then that negative connotation comes into it. How many of us ever went to the altar and prayed for a need or for somebody or maybe even ourselves? And before we even got done praying, we was already doubting whether God would do it for us or not. You know what we did? We went to the altar with positive faith and we came back to our pew with negative faith. He said that you could say to that mountain, be removed, and it would be removed. But we speak and nothing happens. And then some folks want to blame God. Have you ever been around somebody that blames God for not hearing and answering their prayer? And they're very angry at God. In fact, I've had some to tell me, I'm just mad at God because he didn't answer my prayer. And it wasn't God's fault. Anytime a prayer doesn't get answered, it's one of two reasons. One, it wasn't in the will of God. Or two, it was because we prayed with unbelief. Or can I put a third one in there? We asked for something that was contrary to the word of God. Something that was foolishness. For us to ask God for foolish things, it's like we might as well not ask at all. Because God's not going to do them. You know, a lot of folks pray and they don't know what the word of God says. Before we pray, we ought to see what God says about it. And if God says he can do it, we ought to go with positive faith, saying, Lord, I believe in you. I believe that you are able to do this, not just for everybody else, but for me and my family, for my need, for my home. Because the devil will give you enough negativity about your prayers without you bringing it yourself. Because the devil will come to us and say, that prayer may have sounded good, but it's not going to happen. Has the devil ever told anybody else, you can pray all you want, but it's not going to happen? The Bible teaches us, for some of us that got children, to bring them up in the fear and admonition of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And when they're old, they will not depart from it. And we look and we say, but Lord, I see everybody else, but where's mine? What we're doing is we're putting that negative approach to our prayers. And God knows that. And we know that. And the devil knows it. What we ought to be doing is have the positive faith that says, Lord, if you could raise them from the dead, you can speak to my loved ones. For those of us that's got lost family that we prayed for and we prayed for, and we've not seen them get saved. The devil will tell us that you might as well give up. But then I look around us and I realize, folks, that there is no time for us to give up. And as long as God is on the throne, he's able to hear and answer our prayers and speak to them, regardless where they might be at, that they might realize how lost they really are. We have to have positive faith, because there's too much negative faith. We see that God does all these, and you say, "Is this something that's new?" No, negative faith has always been there. It's always been there. Lloyd made mention, I don't know if it was this Sunday, but a couple Sundays ago, you know, they sent spies down to Jericho, and they came back and they said, it is a fortress city. It is a big city, and it's got big walls. There's no way we're going to take it. But you know what God said? March around it 6 days. And then on the seventh day, march around it 6 times and be quiet on the seventh time. When you go around, he said, blow the trumpet and tell the people to shout. Amen. And you know what happened? Even though there was negative faith that was brought back by some, there was others that still believed. And when they marched around and the trumpet blew, I believe they was looking for the walls to come down, and they was going to go in and take that fortified city. There's many things in our life. Many of us can remember prayers that we prayed that God has answered. But I believe also that we can remember prayers that we prayed that have not been answered. And it's because of one of those three reasons. We have to make sure that when we pray, one, we know what we're praying about or for. And then we have faith that God is going to hear and answer our prayer. Because anything less than believing, we will not see it come to fruition. In the book of Matthew, you remember when Jesus was there and he says, a prophet hath not honor in his own country. because they were saying, is this not the son of Mary and Joseph? They would not listen to him. He said in Nazareth there was not many great works that was done there because of their unbelief. They could not believe in him. I believe in Jesus Christ. I believe in God, and I believe that there is nothing impossible for our God to do. Amen. Nothing is impossible for God. It might be impossible for man, but it's not impossible for God to move on. And I meant that with all my heart. I know Scott has gone through a lot, so many different surgeries, and I know that 10% don't sound like much, but I feel in my spirit that 10% plus your prayers and mine, that God is able to move and touch him, if it be God's will. Jesus' disciples came to him and said, Lord, why don't you teach us how to pray like John taught his disciples how to pray? And Jesus said, okay, this is how you ought to pray. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. The first part, thy will be done. Acknowledge God and then say, Lord, I want your will to be done. I don't know if God's going to heal Scott, but I know God is able. And I pray that God would, if it would be in his will. And not just him, but all these many needs that there are. There are many folks that are counting on our prayers. Not any time at all for us to sit back and have unbelief, because unbelief and doubt is negative faith. It's what the devil is using against us. And there's been times that probably most of us have gone to pray and we didn't pray. We really didn't pray. All we did was said a few words. We really didn't believe it in our heart. If you don't believe it, you're not praying. You're just saying some words. And we used to joke, and I know we ought not joke about these things, but it probably didn't go as high as the rafters on the ceiling. But when God's people really believe, they can feel the presence of the Lord come into their prayers. The service might have been as cold can be, but somebody gets down and prays and begins to touch God, you can see something happen in their life. There are people that I have, over the years, had great respect for, that I knew if they prayed on your behalf, you could look for things to happen. I'm thankful that I know and I have known those kind of people, because it changed my life and it changed many other people's lives. You know, the world and many folks probably gave up on some of us, but somebody was praying for us and they didn't doubt that God could turn us around and make us a vessel of honor for his name's sake. The Bible tells us many times that there's unbelief that comes into our prayers, and in the book of Romans, or in the book of Hebrews rather, you know that the faith chapter that talks about all the heroes. Over in the book of Romans it says that they staggered not at God's promises through unbelief, but they held on to the promises of God. How many of you believe that God's word is true? And what he said, he will do. Amen? So why do we allow the devil to creep in and take away our hopes and our dreams, our prayers from us, and make it as though we're asking a God that cannot hear and answer our prayers? You know, the Bible tells us that God's arm, in the book of Isaiah, that God's arm is not shortened, that he cannot touch. His ears are not closed, that he cannot hear the cries of his people. And when he hears our cries, I believe it like this, and I try not to be long-winded on a Wednesday night, but I believe it like this. When God's people really pray, The angels stand ready to be dispatched on our behalf. You say, do you really believe that? If I did not believe it, I would not pray. But I believe it with all my heart that God is an awesome God. And He wants us to have faith in our prayers. He wants us to not stagger at His promises, but to stand on His promises. We sing that song, Standing on the Promises of God. Sometimes I think we got one foot on God's promises and one foot on this world. When what we ought to do is let go of the world and hang on to God with all that we have. The Bible teaches us in the book of Hebrews in the 4th chapter and 6th verse, He said that many entered not in because of their unbelief. As the scripture that we read to you where Jesus said a prophet have not honor in his own country, there's a lot of people that could go to heaven, but because of their unbelief, their negative faith is going to leave them on the outside of the gate looking in. And outside of the gate, and I say that as a metaphor, outside the gate is those that's in hell looking in, but they can't get in because their destiny is already sealed. How many of us can remember prayers that we prayed that we staggered not and we did not doubt, we did not have unbelief, but we believed what God's word said. We believed what the preacher told us. And I'm not talking about the man that was standing in front of you. I'm talking about the preacher that came upon the scene. Sometimes I think some of us have been saved so long that we've become even calloused to the things, the way that God wants us to pray and the way that we ought to worship. They say that you ought to be more dignified and you ought to maintain your composure. But I say when you really have a burden for someone, when you really have a prayer that you need to pray, when the Lord comes by in His mighty Spirit, how can you maintain such a powerful source that moves in our lives and our hearts? We don't want to have negative faith. Negative faith says God won't. When positive faith says God will. And negative faith says God can't. But positive faith says God can. Negative faith says God won't hear you. Positive faith says I know that I'm nobody special. But Lord, I'm thankful that when I pray, God hears my prayer. How many of you know that when we really get earnest with God and we begin to pray without doubting, that God will hear and answer our prayers and we'll see great things happen in our life because we staggered not. We pushed aside. Can I preach just a few more minutes? See, we have to work to push aside that negativity that comes into our Christian life. We have to work at it. Because even as I try to bring a message, the devil will try to say, that ain't going to work. People don't want to hear that. They want to hear something that all they do is recite a little prayer and you guarantee that it'll work. Well, I guarantee that when we pray, faith, believe it, God will hear and answer our prayers. But when we pray doubting, I guarantee God will not hear and answer your prayer. You see, many because of their unbelief wasn't able to get what they needed or what they wanted taken care of. Could you imagine blind Bartimaeus sitting by the wayside when he heard the Lord was passing by? He had a positive faith. He cried out, Jesus, thou son of David. And here come the negativity. Hush, be quiet. But when they told him to be quiet, the scripture says that he cried out the more the loud. You know what he was saying? This is my only hope. Tonight, if our people ever get healed, if our people ever get saved, if our homes ever get right, if our lives ever get right, it's going to take us saying, regardless what the world says, and even regardless what the Christian community says, I'm going to cry out to God until God answers my prayer. And when He answers it, I'm going to praise Him for it. Because I realize it wasn't me, but it was Him. I know, and I didn't say that earlier to embarrass Mary, but I've been rejoicing ever since Sunday night. You say, why would you rejoice? For one, I love Mary. And for two, I said some prayers on her behalf. Now, I'm not going to allow, Lord, my head to swell and say it was my prayers that God heard. I don't know whose prayer it was, but I believe that Mary and myself both will say this. Thank God somebody prayed without doubting, and God heard and answered. You say, but the devil will come back and say, but she's not out of the woods yet. You know what I say? I rebuke him in the name of Jesus. And that's what the Bible tells us to do, is it not? Rebuke him in the name of Jesus and say, I'm not going to allow that negative faith come into my life and drive out what God has already done and not what I know God is able to do. And maybe I shouldn't say what I know God is able to do, because I don't know all the power of God. But I have seen him move in circumstances where they said there was no hope. I'll close with this. Many years ago, here at the church, y'all remember Brother Les. He was in bad shape and looking for him to just go at any time. In fact, when we went to see him at the hospital, we got the phone call. I shared with the church many years ago when that happened. Before I even got in my car to drive up there, that negative faith come in and said, you know, I was already getting his funeral ready. Only to find out that somebody had been praying and God said it ain't his time yet. And God healed him. Several years later, I got a phone call and I seen on my phone that it was from their house. And I thought, oh, he's gone now. Anybody else ever thought that? Come to find out, it wasn't him. It was his son. See, if we're not careful, we will already put in motion what we think is going to happen or what should be happening. What that is when the devil comes in and tries to drive out the faith that God has given to us. You know what he said? He said, if we have faith as a seed, as a grain of mustard seed, that we could do great things. But you know what we do? We walk around with that mustard seed in our pocket instead of planting it and letting it grow. If you only have one seed and you keep it in your pocket, not much is going to happen. You're always going to have one seed. Yesterday, I believe it was. But then my mind goes back to Brother Harvey. You plant one kernel of corn, one seed. And he, at harvest time, began to count all the kernels that was on that corn cob. See, I said it right tonight. You know what it was? It was, I think it was well over 300, if I remember correctly. On just that one ear. You know what? If they never planted that one, they never got all that harvest. Tonight, in my closing, we need to take that one grain of faith that we have, that we carry around in our pocket, so to speak, and we need to plant it. How many of us know we need more faith in our life? And not the negative kind. I need some more positive kind, don't you? That God is going to hear and answer my prayers. And I know He will. How many of us are recipients of somebody else's prayers along the journey? And how many prayers have we prayed? As I use the illustration of Sister Mary, that we've seen God move and prayers be answered. You say, well, you said you didn't know if it's your prayer. You know what? I'm going to walk on and say, Lord, I thank you, regardless whether it was mine or somebody else's, the prayer was answered. The prayer was answered. So we need to keep two forces we need to keep away from our faith. One is the devil, and the second one is our mind. Because if we're not careful, we'll pray and tell God how to answer our prayer. It's not our place to tell God how to answer our prayer. God has His own plan. And we need to ask His will to be done. Would you join us as we pray tonight? Don't bring no negativity to this altar. But bring the prayer of faith that James said shall save and shall heal the sick. And when we do that, folks, there is no limit to what God can do for us when we pray. He said if you would pray faith believing that and not doubt, God would do all these things for us today. And for what you're praying for, it's important to you. How many of you got important things upon your heart and mind tonight? You know what? When you pray for something, that means it is important to you. If it's that important to you, don't let the devil mix in doubt and unbelief into your prayer, but drive that rascal away and say, Lord, I need to talk to you. And you know what the Bible says? At the name of Jesus, the devil has to flee. Put him on the run so that you can talk to God as we pray tonight. God bless you.